Welcome to the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and welcome to the new year. Schaefer Marketing Group, they're a manufacturer's rep that has several lines of electrical products. If you don't know exactly what a manufacturer's rep group is, you're about to hear. Mike and Chris join us in studio, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Mike Schaefer, who founded Schaefer Marketing Group. Their story today on the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. I wanted to talk about what you guys do and the origin of your company. So let's first start with what you guys do today.
We're a manufacturer's rep firm. Mm-hmm. Most people have no idea what that is.
Yeah, can you explain that?
There are several industries that use manufacturer's reps. The electrical industry is one of them. Mm-hmm. So we are an agent. We start out with one manufacturer, and then you hope to get several more that are in a certain line of goods. And you represent the company and solicit sales in a given market area. Mm-hmm. In our case, half of Missouri and half of Illinois.
So you could represent different brands at the same time.
Yes, that multiple brands. It's mm-hmm. It's the synergistic selling, mm-hmm. they call it.
Yeah.
But
do those brands, are they normally in competition with each other?
Well, you hit on a good item. They're not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But very often, the one manufacturer will come out with a new product and create a conflict with another that you already represent.
I see.
So that actually happened to our company.
So you have a relationship with these companies. They offer a new line. You don't anticipate that. And then all of a sudden, you already have a client, and there could be some kind of non-compete. Or do you normally have an agreement with some of these companies that there would be a non-compete?
Yes, that's part of our contract. We actually sign a 30-day contract. Mm-hmm. Most agents have a 30-day contract, so that we're no different. And they can fire us for any reason whatsoever, mm-hmm. really. But that's one of them. You agree not to have other products that compete with the main product line. Well, that's very difficult when you have lines of goods that may have hundreds or maybe thousands of different parts in them,
yeah.
and pieces and so forth, you know, hardware.
Is that hard for you when you're repping different organizations to learn all of those hundreds of parts from different organizations?
Well, it's not hard necessarily, but it certainly is challenging to keep all the numbers straight and all the goods and who's got what products. And so it just takes practice and a lot of study and some hard work. And, you know, I'm very familiar. All of us become very familiar with these products over time.
So that manufacturer's rep, originally when the company started, Schaefer Marketing Group, was the intention to be a rep that way, or were you just working with one client and then eventually it branched out to others?
Well, we started out in an industry that was well-defined as to what a manufacturer's rep was. Mm-hmm. So we knew what the expectations were, that we would take on a line and hopefully get other lines in the same geography mm-hmm. over time, provided we did a good job. But you have to do a good job.
Yeah.
And establish yourself and gain credibility and all those sort of things. And then it's mostly built up by references.
Right. It was you and your cousin at first.
Yes, my cousin John Schaefer and I.
Right. 1976?
1976. So it'll be 42 years.
Wow.
It already is 42 years ago. We started. And we started with one manufacturer. Their name was Carlon, and mm-hmm. they were a pioneer, well-known company already at that time at producing PVC plastic pipe mm-hmm. and fittings and boxes. And they were challenging the old-fashioned ways of electrical systems, which were generally in metal conduit or steel or zinc or aluminum.
Yeah.
And so that you know, the product was lighter, quicker, faster, better, things like that. And they got it into all of the various national codes over time. Mm-hmm. And little by little, the codes, every code would loosen up a little bit and allow more applications. Mm-hmm. So our job was to go out and let the market know that, and especially the contractors and the engineers, the architects, designers, decision makers of mm-hmm. buildings. Mm-hmm. that this was a better way to do it. Same way with end users like utility companies who are big users of conduits.
Right. You know, you mentioned that your reputation is what really helped grow the company. And at first, it was just you and your cousin. How did you guys build your reputation in order to make other, I guess, companies know and want them to have them be repped by you?
it's just word of mouth. When most manufacturers are looking for a rep, they go to the distributors and they'll ask around.
Yeah.
And distributors make recommendations based on reps that are doing a good job, working hard, making referrals, things like that, that creating business, creating demand. And most, we don't do any advertising really, other than business cards and calendars and things like that.
So 1976, was that the bicentennial year?
I believe it was.
Yeah, so it's a historic year. How old were you at that time when you started with your cousin?
I was 27.
27.
Yes.
Before that, have you ever tried to start a business?
Not really. I was inspired by my uncle Carl, who started Schaefer Electric back in the 30s.
Oh, great.
And my father worked there for many years. And so our family is well known. The Schaefer name is well known in the electrical industry. That was a big part of my encouragement.
Right. And you saw not only the success, but the way he treated his customers. And you probably learned a lot that way about building your reputation and how to be a reputable company.
That's very true.
Yeah, with a name like that. Starting a business at the same time as welcoming in a new child in the family. Yes, stressful indeed. We're going to continue our conversation with Schaefer Marketing Group and learn more about them coming up next on The Business of Family Businesses, presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and you know that family businesses, they don't always have the ability to make a generational transition. That means when the family is ready to have the owner step down, maybe in a leadership or an ownership role. Most family businesses, they might be able to identify the next successor, but very few actively work to unify the next generation and develop them to be effective owners. That's where CMA Consulting can help. Check them out online, cmaconsult.com. They help family business owners unify the next generation. If you haven't started the discussion, or if you've started it but don't know where to go next, that's why you should call Dan Bean from CMA Consulting and ask him, what can you do for our family business? It doesn't hurt to call. It doesn't hurt to ask. It doesn't hurt to hear their suggestions. CMA Consulting, their website again, cmaconsult.com, or call 314-721-1860. The website every family business should know, cmaconsult.com. Welcome back to The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And if you know a family business in the St. Louis region and they have a family business story to tell, we want to hear it. Have them reach out to Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com. That's their website, cmaconsult.com. Let them know that there's a great family story to be told. We're always looking for new ones. cmaconsult.com. We'll continue our conversation now with Mike and Chris with Schaefer Marketing Group. So the early years, what was it like at first? You mentioned that you were repping just one company at that point. Were you just getting a lot of sales, or was it a lot of hitting the streets and, you know, doubt if you're doing the right thing?
Well, I don't know that we doubted what we were doing, but it sure was hitting the street. And so we, you know, we had started out the first year, you know, my wife, Brenda, quit working in July to have our daughter Chris.
Oh, okay.
Who was born in September.
So actually Chris was born after Schaefer Marketing Group started.
Well, actually, it was before.
Before?
She was about a month old when this opportunity first presented itself.
Oh, wow.
And I came home. John and I were working together on a weekend on a little project we had. And conversation started up, and I came back and told my wife what I was going to do. So in a very short, she went along with it, thank God. And in a very short time, we went from two paychecks to one paycheck to no paychecks.
How much pressure were you under at that point?
Well, a lot.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we had some savings, or else we couldn't have done that. We had a mortgage. We had bought a home, I don't know, some couple years, 3 years before that. So we had a mortgage, but we saved up enough money with both of us working and no children that we could afford to go. And we went, actually, the first paycheck was in July of the following year. So that is something that I will never forget.
Yeah. Let me ask Dan Bean from CMA Consulting about this, mostly because we hear when you start a business, it's very difficult. There's a lot of pressure, of course, and you're watching your money just go out, and you're hoping more comes in, and you're waiting, and then add newborn baby into the equation in the family, too. That's a lot going on at one time.
Yeah, most every business that starts has a plan, and they can fund what they anticipate. They cannot always fund what they don't anticipate. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to start a business, it's a very good idea to have some extra money, to have some cushion, because something's not going to go the way you expect.
Right.
And having a baby on top of it, that just makes everything a lot more stressful.
Yes. Well, the very early years, were you working out of a home, or did you actually have a business front?
We always felt it was important to have a business front, mm-hmm. so we rented a small office on Hampton at Pernod, started out there in South St. Louis, and that was our home base, but we would travel. We'd go in the morning, read the mail, get whatever orders there were, mm-hmm. take care of them, and then hit the street. And then our wives would answer the phone. We'd forward the calls to our homes because both of our wives had small babies to take care of.
How positive was your wife through this process?
Very positive.
Yeah?
Yeah, she was very supportive, and that she was the secret sauce that made it work.
I don't think my wife would have been as happy. Well, what about your cousin that you started with, John? What about his side of it, too?
His background, he had worked for another rep firm, actually. So he had been in the business.
So he had some experience.
Already, yeah. He had the actual experience in the rep business. Mm-hmm. I did not. However, we both had experience in the electrical trade since our families have been in it for so long. And we both worked in it, you know, hands-on type thing.
That probably helped when you have some background knowledge of the products you're selling. How long did it take before another company came around that you repped?
Actually, it didn't take very long. It was a matter of months. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting a phone call. My wife answered the phone, and then we had pagers back then, and then she'd page us from out in the boondocks and, hey, you have to hurry up and call this gentleman back and so forth. We'd been very fortunate.
Pagers, yes.
Yeah, back in pagers, yeah. You would forward the calls to home, mm-hmm. And our wives would take turns answering the phone. They both had, you know, the same age babies. Chris and Matt were 3 days apart.
Wow. If we were to fast forward to maybe the early 90s, did you have one of those car phones that came in these big blocks and you'd plug in? Did you have one of those too?
We certainly did, but that was much later. I mean, that was a few years later when those came out.
Right, of course.
But in the early days, it was you had to learn where all the coin phones were.
Yeah.
And in all around the territory, in every town and on every thoroughfare, some were obvious, some were, but you didn't want to talk on a coin phone when it was, you know, very cold outside, so you'd find a hotel lobby or a bank or someplace where you could carry on a conversation and not freeze to death.
Are there any coin phones left in St. Louis?
They're extremely hard to find. There's a few at the airport.
Oh, okay.
But I remember looking for one not long ago when my battery died, and I had a heck of a time finding it.
You knew where they were maybe a decade ago, but not so much anymore.
They were on every street corner in the old days.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Was it a necessity for you to call quickly, or was it just a service element?
We always felt that it was.
So the company itself, it took a little while before you were able to pay yourself.
It did.
Several months.
It was almost 8 months, and even then it was a very small amount compared to what we had made. But at least we were in the black.
You were working towards that point. And then after that, when did you start to see things really pick up?
Oh, gosh, it took a couple of years, easily, 2 or 3 years. And then we got another line, particularly a building wire line, that made a huge difference. And then pretty soon we had three lines that were really making a difference.
Yeah. Chris is in the studio, too, your daughter.
Right.
And I wanted to ask you this question. Have you guys talked about the history of the company, the early years, and have you learned about what your dad had to do back in the day, and now you look at how different the industry is?
Yes, we've talked about it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I hear the history often.
Yeah.
But
Is he someone that, you know, I walked up the hill both ways to school type of story?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
A little bit about how difficult it is and how easy we have it. But that's part of the humor of it. I lived it. I mean, we joke that the company was born and I was born about the same time, and that I don't know whose favorite baby is my father's, the company or me. But that really makes the company mean something to me, mm-hmm. and it means something to our whole family, my sisters too. We heard fights about money when times were tight, and mm-hmm. we worried that there wouldn't be orders coming in the morning. And anything I could do in high school, after school, and over the summers I worked there, I thought if I could contribute, I could make things easier and better for our family. And I kind of started at a young age wanting to contribute.
So you always wanted to help?
Yeah. Yes.
I love hearing those stories. Let me ask you this, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. There's always a couple of different ways to treat the children when it comes to businesses. Sometimes the parents say, you know, you have to earn your keep, and some of them may give them a little preferential treatment. It's just the way the parent is sometimes.
So, yeah, family members who work in the business, when they enter, they tend to enter in one of two plans for compensation. Mm-hmm. It's the family discount.
Yeah.
In which case they're underpaid relative to the marketplace. They're mm-hmm. just expected to do it mm-hmm. because they're part of the family. Or they get the family premium plan, which means they're paid more than the marketplace because they are a member of the family.
Right.
And it seems to be one or the other very seldom, as it seemed to be right in the middle where
right.
the market competitive rate is.
So, Chris, which one were you?
I'd hate to take exception, but I feel like I was given the market rate, nothing more.
Well, good. That's good for your family. No, I'm glad to hear that.
That's sure.
Yeah, there was no premium. I think even when I I worked for a distributor for a number of years. I think I made exactly the same dollar amount, you know, when I came to work for the company as part of our contractual agreement.
It's better that way, I think, isn't it?
It's probably, yes, it's the right way thing for a business to do is to pay all employees a competitive rate mm-hmm. and to maintain internal equity, and external equity is mm-hmm. is with the market rate. Internal equity is among all the employees mm-hmm. within the company. But a lot of particularly teenage years, when family members come in, they're expected to sweep the warehouse, put stuff away, straighten stuff up, and it's like getting an allowance rather than a salary.
When we come back, I want to ask Mike Schaefer from Schaefer Marketing Group about some of those dips in the business, maybe some of those hard times that they had to overcome. And we're going to get his answer to that coming up next. This is the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, hearing the story today of Schaefer Marketing Group. Started in 1976. They've been around for the last couple of decades. And now Mike Schaefer's daughter, Chris, involved in the company, rising to the ranks of president. We'll hear her story and her role in the company coming up. Right before the break, we were talking to Chris of what it was like as a family business and growing up. One thing that your daughter, Chris, mentioned there was that she would remember growing up, there would be times where things were a little more difficult. Maybe you were talking about different contracts or a little bit harder times in the company. What were some of those challenges? Let's say, you know, 1976, but let's say in the 1980s, were there any challenges you guys faced?
The greatest challenge for a rep is when you get a line, you build it up, and you build it up to a point where it now makes sense for the manufacturer to hire a direct employee.
Mm.
That's a major risk that all of us reps have. You can actually work yourself out of a job.
Wow.
Where the manufacturer then decides to, you know, hire a direct person or whatever to do your job. And the idea being that he can save money doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So then that actually happened to us. And I think it was 82 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
We lost a major wire line that basically we'd started out from little or nothing.
Was that a surprise at the time?
It was. It was a complete surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the risk of being in the rep business. It's the greatest risk that companies sometimes will let you go for no reason that you can understand. We've been through two particularly hard times. One was 1982. That's when, you know, the interest rates were 21.5%. And that's when we lost that wire line, by the way. That was part of their problem at that time. And so we talked about what we did for that. But the more recent one was 2007, 2008, when home building came almost to a complete halt
mm-hmm.
in this marketplace. And the economy came to a screeching halt. And the rest we all know about. But what we did at that time is we kind of reorganized our focus to more into energy-saving products, LED lighting, LED retrofits, and so forth. And that's become today, we became an Ameren ally, a trade ally. We've received a number of honors for that over the last several years. And that's become a major part of our business today, LED lighting.
It's smart.
We've participated in that along with Ameren, but their incentive programs make it really smart for anybody, especially businesses, to convert over perfectly good lighting and either retrofit it or replace it. I noticed in your garage out as I walked in, all those fixtures out there have been replaced recently with LED. Okay. And so those are the type of projects that we get involved in all over Missouri and Illinois with cooperating with Ameren's rebate program. And that's become a very important part of our business. So that was a major transition that we had to make. And as a result of that, during the last recession, started 2008, we never laid anybody off. Mm-hmm. And the team kept growing, and we've been very fortunate in that way.
Well, when was your cousin John, how long was he involved in Schaefer Marketing Group?
John and I were together almost 20 years.
Okay.
Maybe more than that. A little more than that.
So up until the mid-90s?
Yes.
Or late 90s even?
Yeah, 97.
Okay.
And basically what happened was we merged with another rep firm that the gentleman was getting along in years, and he had no kids and no children to want to take it over. Mm-hmm. And so he was looking to merge. He was a good rep, had some very good lines, been in business for even longer than we were at that time. And we signed a contract to merge and did not foresee that one of our manufacturers, again, it was Carlon, who declared a conflict with a product that we were then taking on.
One of your acquisitions, yeah.
Against a product that this manufacturer was planning to come out with that we had no knowledge of.
Oh, I see. And this is they go back all the way to the start. They're your top client at this point. You have a great relationship with them, working 20-some years.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, over 20 years we had repped them by that time. And so John honored the contract by going ahead with the merger, leaving our company. I bought out his stock, and he went and completed the merger.
Oh, I see.
With the other rep firm.
Really?
And that's how we ended up splitting and meeting all our commitments at the time.
Wow, that's one way to do it, I guess. So at that point, did you become sole owner 100%?
I certainly did. Eventually, it took a while to work out all the details.
But yeah.
You know, who's got what line and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Let me ask this to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Sometimes it seems like companies get creative when there's these roadblocks that pop up. Some things you can't anticipate where you don't know when one of the companies you're going to rep has a product line coming out that, of course, isn't announced to the public and they wouldn't know about something like that. At that point, they had to get creative in order to not only keep the client, but also be able to keep the company intact.
When you get in a bind, focusing on what the needs I have, the needs you have, the needs employees have, or a vendor or customer has, if you focus on those needs rather than my own individual interest, and I give up trying to win at the expense of others, and we focus just on the multiple sets of needs, that's when all the creativity can be directed to the best solution in this very difficult situation. And what Mike just talked about was the importance of honor and integrity and following through on your word. And they came up with a very creative solution to satisfy both the new rep firm and his existing rep that he had worked with for 20 years. So quite frankly, he took a pile of lemons and made a very good picture of lemonade.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask Chris about this because, Chris, how did you first get involved in Schaefer Marketing Group?
Well, I worked there again through high school, mowing the lawn also, and all kinds of things that were needed to do. I don't know that I elected to do all of them, but I was surely told to do a few. But I did receive scholarships from the National Reps Organization and the local electrical board of Missouri and Illinois. And I did feel some, compelling draw mm-hmm. into the industry. I felt that they had believed in me and helped fund my education, and that I certainly intended on returning to the business after mm-hmm. graduation. So I designed a very odd program degree for myself. I graduated from the University of Missouri, St. Louis with a degree in logistics and operations management and marketing. And everyone in the business school thought that was really weird, that those two sides of your brain don't normally combine. And I explained to everyone that's what a rep is.
Did you say you worked for another company after mm-hmm. college?
I did. I worked for two different distributors mm-hmm. locally, both of them family owned at the time. It was a great experience to do customer service and purchasing and marketing and design their website and run their rebate programs yeah. and so on, and put together sales meetings yeah. and marketing events.
So, Mike, behind the scenes, were you thinking, oh, I hope she shows interest in coming back to Schaefer Marketing Group? Or what was going on with you when you see your daughter kind of take up the same line of work that you've been working in for the last couple of decades? You have your own family business, and you see her thriving at these other companies. What's going on in your mind behind the scenes?
I did not foresee this at all,
yeah?
to be honest. And I was very glad that she decided to go get a job in the electrical industry, and two jobs, actually. And the one ran out, and then she got another one. After about 3 or 4 years, we had an opening in our company. Mm-hmm. And by this time, she's got a lot of experience in our industry. And so my wife and I asked her if she would be interested in joining our company. It isn't something that we planned.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I ever foresaw until we got to that point.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it worked out the way it did, because she's made a huge difference in our company over the last 18 plus years she's been here.
We'll be joined with Mike Schaefer, founder of Schaefer Marketing Group, one more time here on the Business of Family Business, along with his daughter, Chris Steger, who now is acting president, and you heard also about some of the transitioning that's going on within the family itself. More into that coming up next on the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. And as you heard, family businesses, they're like a lot of other businesses. They have their ups, they have their downs, they have their challenges, and other ways too. I want you to imagine what it's like when a business owner is ready to make that decision to transition to the next generation. That's where you hear some of the background of what goes on between Mike and Chris, how they prepared for that sort of thing. Preparation is very important. CMA Consulting, they lead a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation and develop them to be effective business owners. If you are thinking about a transition in your family business, it's essential you reach out to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Their website is cmaconsult.com. You can call them, too, if you prefer, 314-721-1860. Contact CMA for a complimentary, no-obligation meeting to discuss your family business, maybe an upcoming transition, or you want to learn about some of the benefits they can offer to help your family business during this time. What does it hurt to ask the question, hey, Dan, what can you do for our family business? Why don't you hear their answer? Give them a call. CMAconsult.com is the website, and the phone number is 314-721-1860. Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Recker, joined in studio with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, also Mike and Chris from Schaefer Marketing Group. Mike Schaefer, Chris Steger, both join us in studio to discuss the company and where it's going. Chris, what is it like working with your dad?
It's always interesting.
Yeah? What do you mean by that?
Well, it is hard to check your family typical behaviors at the door when you walk into the office. So you try to act professionally, but deep down, you're still father and daughter mm-hmm. at work or at home. So it's a lot of fun. I've always said I've never worked for bosses who cared as much about my kids' stories as when I came to work for my parents. Mm-hmm. And my mom's been very active in the business since John's departure, especially. So really, it was coming to work for both of them. And I see some things in him that are also characteristics I possess that I want to do better or mm-hmm. deal with in a different way. So not to be negative, but that is a a good rule of thumb for the second generation to not just be upset with those things, but know that you have the tendency to do those things, that think same things yourself, and to try to overcome and perhaps do a better job. And then there's some things that he's far better and far superior to me at doing within the company. Technically, he's far and away above anything I can bring to the company. But, mm-hmm. you know, his engineering training is extremely valuable. So it makes for a good partnership in that I'm probably stronger in relationship communication side. So we kind of share each other's strong points.
You know, I think it's every parent's dream that their children are better off than they are. So I think it's fair to say, you know, you can look at different traits and want to be able to improve on yourself professionally and do all of these things. Do you still keep a pager in a desk drawer?
No, I don't.
It's gone. See, you retired that.
It might be in one of the desk drawers somewhere, along with some old cell phones.
Say, it's okay to retire things, you know, after time. So have you thought about your successor? Is Chris going to be your successor?
She certainly is.
Yes. Yeah. So has there
thought been a lot about that, actually.
Right. So when did that process start where you decided and really started grooming and wanting to make sure Chris was ready to take over the duties?
Gosh, many years ago, I suppose. I suppose it became evident when I started getting compliments from not just our principal, our manufacturer executives, but our distributor customer executives would make, you know, very glowing remarks about Chris. It's all about relationships in our business, as in many businesses. And then, of course, many compliments from the manufacturers. And over time, it became obvious.
Mm-hmm. At Schaefer Marketing Group, Chris, what's your official title there?
I'm president as of January 1st, 2018.
Wow. How has that changed your duties this past year?
It has brought about many more strategic obstacles and opportunities for me. More stress, more worry. Tougher nights sleeping, just because I know that there's a tougher role in front of me than just selling and getting the job done. And there's a lot more that I'm learning about the leadership and management of the company. And years ago, I asked for the longevity of the company, could I please take on more? Could I please learn more and learn at a slower pace so that one day he doesn't throw down his briefcase in anger and run out the door and leave me not knowing how to make a tax decision or health insurance decision or who to call. So we've been opening the doors on our management meetings more over the past several years about 401k programs and taxes and insurance, and I've been more involved in that. But this was a bigger, a year of bigger change for me.
So as president, in looking forward with the company, what are the things that concern you, or what are some of the things that you're working on now as you anticipate the future?
We need to develop a plan for his retirement because, you know, he will leave big shoes to fill. So we have to hire and groom salespeople to take on bigger and bigger accounts. And I can't be everywhere and everything to all people. So I need to build a team. And that's my biggest concern and goal. We've moved our office to a larger location so we can accommodate a larger team and a training room and more professional front for our customers and a place for them to come visit and train. So we've made some big changes, and that's my biggest challenge moving forward in the near future.
Schaefer Marketing Group, when you look at your dad, Chris, do you say, I don't know how you did all of this?
Yes. And then I think, well, he had my mom. Who do I have? They're going to retire and not want to call in. And then what will I do? So, it is about building a good team, and they had a good team.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, you hear about the process of the transitioning. And yes, of course, there's a lot of questions. What a great advantage to have someone like Mike still in the role where you can be mentored and learn the business and be able to get to the point where you could confidently take over the company. This seems like the right way to handle a transition.
So I don't know how long they planned it, but obviously Chris has been thinking about this for a couple of years before she was made president. So that preparation time is invaluable, and it's also a very smart thing to do for Mike to pass responsibilities gradually to Chris rather than all at once. Here's everything. I threw down my briefcase. I'll see you later. That is a high-risk way to transition management responsibilities. Right. But to do it with preparation, to do it gradually over time, and to do it in a way that fits Chris's strengths, that is exactly the way to do it. But it takes a lot of communication. It takes a lot of understanding. It takes a lot of give and take, because it's never going to work exactly the way Chris thinks it ought to and the mm-hmm. way Mike thinks it ought to, because they're not going to think exactly alike.
Mm-hmm. As you've seen Chris take on more roles, become president of the company, have you also, besides the leadership transition, have you also maybe talked about an ownership transition?
Well, we certainly have, and we've already... Chris has bought some stock, and mm-hmm. we've gifted her some stock.
Okay.
So today she owns about a third of the company, mm-hmm. and we'll be transitioning here in the near future, more stock to where eventually she'll own the majority.
Right.
Yes.
It's a plan. You guys are planning this out. That's a good thing. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Let's talk about that sort, how they go hand in hand, transitioning leadership and transitioning ownership. And in some cases, each of them can happen independently.
So, yes, we generally recommend transitioning leadership first and making sure the next generation can lead the business effectively before giving up voting control. Now, you can transition some ownership and you can transition non-voting stock. But to give up voting control before the next generation has proved itself leaves the current generation or leaf parents little recourse if the next generation stumbles and is not up to the task.
Mm. So, of course, strategically, you want to make sure you do this in the right order. There's some proper order to it.
Correct. When you have that latitude. Mm-hmm. Families do not always have that latitude.
Right.
If they don't plan, they sometimes don't have that latitude.
Mike, was there any role models that you had already in the business that you looked at and maybe modeled some of your own behaviors after?
A fellow rep who's passed on now, but
okay, so
Mr. Ray Martin of Martin Sales. He started an electrical rep firm probably 25 or 30 years before we have. Mm-hmm. They're still in business. And Ray was very successful at transitioning his company to his oldest daughter, Nancy Martin, mm-hmm. Who Nancy still works in the business, and she's transitioning out now, I believe. But I always admired Ray Martin in the industry, and it proved to me that it can be done in the St. Louis market.
Mm-hmm. Someone hearing the story today of Schaefer Marketing Group, and they may be interested in learning more. Do you guys have a website?
We do. It's smgrep.com.
Great. And if people have questions, who's the best person to reach out to?
You can reach out to me.
Yeah.
My information is available on the website. Our office number is there.
Okay.
As well as email addresses for each of our salespeople.
Oh, great. So someone listening today, if they had any questions, they can just go to the website. They don't have to page you to get a call back. You don't have to run to a pay phone.
We don't.
You'll have a cell phone. You can call.
It's utterly amazing how that works.
Feel free to email your orders instead of dropping them in the postal service.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. You heard the story of Schaefer Marketing Group today. Last couple of decades, they found different ways to adapt. They've overcame some hard times. They have a succession plan. It sounds like things are on the right track.
I think they are. Mike and Chris have a very good father-daughter relationship, and a transition with leadership moving faster than the transition of ownership, which is the way we think that should be sequenced. And although they have some interesting moments together in their relationship, they obviously love each other, respect each other, and they communicate well. And they are finding a way to make this transition work. And that's what every family business has to do. Once they start, they have no option but to finish it and make it successful. They're doing a very good job of making this work for the company, for their employees and their customers, as well as the manufacturers they represent.
Chris, what was that website one more time if people want to check out Schaefer Marketing Group?
SMGREP.com, like Schaefer Marketing Group Rep.
Mike and Chris, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.